Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to mix things up a little bit here at hour number three. If you listen to us on Tuesdays during the football season, this is where you would get top five, bottom five, and then we usually throw a guest to talk about something. Well, we're doing the guest first out of the gate. So coming up, Alan Poupar is going to join us, a friend down at Sports Illustrated, who covers the Miami Dolphins. So we're going to talk about them and where they're at this season. Again, you can make the argument, and it's not that much of a stretch. I mean, they are a very, very good football team, but they're the best team in the AFC. You can make that argument. If you still love Kansas City, you can make that argument too. But we'll talk to Alan Poupar about what has been really working on this Dolphins team, how Bradley Chubb is fitting in. A lot of questions about that team. We're going to have that. Then we'll have our top five and bottom five after week 10 of the NFL season. And it's kind of been a lot of fun because all of these have changed up. And I'm really curious about the top five, about who's in and out and where basically after losses by Buffalo, lost by Philadelphia, and again, another win by the Dolphins, another win by the Vikings, how we sort of mix that up a little bit. But I think the more fun is the bottom five, almost like looking at certain teams in certain ways and saying, you know what? You're not very good, but how are you not very good? Are you not very good because you try, or are you not very good because everything was supposed to be coming your way, and for whatever reason, nothing is coming your way? And it's not just about wins and losses. It's always about, like, I can put a team with one loss like Houston, I can put them higher than a team that's been really disappointing, let's say like Las Vegas or something, because it depends on how we perceive that team. Are you loaded with talent and you're failing to win games, or you're a team with not a lot of talent, you got to get better, you've been moving in a direction where you're going to start building the team in a different direction. So that's, we're going to have top five, bottom five. But I really like this Dolphins team a lot. And just think, it wasn't that long ago when we were talking about Tua Tagovailoa and his head injury and what that would mean for his future, what that would mean for his career. But man, when he is on the field, they are winning football games. They are explosive on offense. They have gotten better on defense. And again, the team I wouldn't really want to play, to be honest with you, in the playoffs because of the different things that they can do offensively. They're going, you know, they could win this division. I think we thought that Buffalo would run away with this. But as long as the Dolphins were hanging around, there is a moment where you could go, hey, if you stumble a little bit, we're going to be right there to catch it when you fall and go past you. And I think that's where the Dolphins are heading. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Alan Poupar on the Dolphins when we come back on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us on a Tuesday.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon, Cabernet, Chardonnay, the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide, and all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at Progressive.com. Alan Poupar joins us from Sports Illustrated. Talk Miami Dolphins at 7-3. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm great. All right, let's talk Tua Tagovailoa. Another great game. I'm going to ask this a little tongue-in-cheek, Alan. Are there any doubters left on this guy?
Well... The doubters for us what? That he can play at a high level?
Yeah, like all the doubters that said, oh, can he be the starting quarterback? Do they exist anymore? Is this guy proven that he is now the guy in Miami? Like, is there anybody else still holding the flag that, I don't know, I got to see more?
No, and I don't think there was, to be honest with you, I don't think there was any, it's been a couple of weeks now. The thing with the Dolphins is what they're going to have to do is at one point they're going to have to decide, okay, when do we start thinking about a long-term contract extension, which likely will involve a lot of guaranteed money, and this is where maybe the questions surface. But no, the dude's obviously playing outstanding. The Dolphins did an absolutely great job in the offseason of putting together pieces around him to to maximize what he does best, and basically, like, he's back at Alabama now.
Yeah, in terms of that, in terms of where you've seen the growth, in terms of where you've seen him get better as the season goes along, where has that come from? Where have you seen a noticeable difference from the way he's playing now, where this team is 7-3, to where he was when there were people wondering if he was going to be the franchise quarterback?
Well, here's the thing with Tua, though, and this is, I mean, there's so much talked and said about him, and I think that there's some things that are blown out of proportion. There are things that are that there's never any nuance with him. Physically, he's not doing a ton that he didn't do last year. Okay, what he's got is number one above and beyond anything else. What he has right now that maybe he didn't have last year when as you said there were doubters is he's playing with a tremendous amount of confidence. He is making quick decisions, and some of that, again, it's to me, it's as much about what the Dolphins did for him as it is about his growth. There was never any question, I think, for me that he could succeed if everything around him was ideal, which it is this year, starting with a head coach who from day one told him, you're my guy, our offense is going to kick some butt, you're going to be the one running it, and then the team went about, got like a crazy amount of speed around him, and they hired a head coach who, as it turned out, was known to be a creative genius, quote unquote, for the running game from his days in San Francisco. Well, guess what? He is a creative genius offense, period. Because until last Sunday, let me just finish real quickly. Until last Sunday, what the Dolphins were doing was pretty much strictly passing game, and now we saw last Sunday, well, the running game can be highly effective as well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that from the running game, from the standpoint of Jeff Wilson coming in. How has he jumped right in and being effective under the Miami system?
Well, the Miami system is very much like the San Francisco system, so it's completely seamless as far as the transition was concerned, to the point where he played the same number of snaps as Raheem Mostert the first, like 3 days after he got to Miami. And then on Sunday, since he was running so well from the start, he wound up like with double the number of snaps, clearly as the number one guy for this particular day. And they got him, I don't want to say as out of necessity, but almost as like as an offshoot after trading for Bradley Chubb, because the Broncos insisted on Chase Edmonds being thrown into the deal. Well, Edmonds, who had been signed as a free agent from Arizona in the offseason, wasn't playing particularly well, didn't seem like a great fit in that scheme. And then swinging the trade for Wilson, who became expendable for the 49ers and actually asked for a trade because he saw his playing time, you know, reduced with the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey. That swap of Chase Edmonds for Jeff Wilson in those two trades, I mean, is a major, major boost for the Dolphin offense.
How big was the offensive line, especially that game against Cleveland? They got some good pass rushers. How good was the offensive line on Sunday?
No, the offensive line has been great, and it's the thing, and I get in trouble down here sometimes. It's like I know all the focus is on Tua. He's putting up the monster numbers. He's going to get MVP votes. Hell, he might even be in the top three. But the suggestion to me that it's all Tua and all that, I'm not buying it. It's a combination of, again, the play design scheme genius of Mike McDaniel, the absolute cheat code they have at wide receivers, a wide receiver with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, where you see DBs and defenses playing very, very soft coverage a lot of the time because they're scared out of their pants of Hill's speed and him getting behind them. And then you have the offensive line, which got a massive boost in the offseason when they signed Teron Armstead, and whose only issue whatsoever is that he's had injuries in his career, especially in recent years. But when he's healthy, is easily a top five, if not top three, left tackle in the NFL. And when the guy's in the lineup, it makes a huge difference. And then Tua is also doing his part in terms of the pass protection because he is making very quick decisions. He's seeing the field very well, so he's doing that part there also. But the offensive line, which was to say was criticized the last couple of years, to be putting in mind, it was more like bashed beyond belief. Mm-hmm. While this year you don't hear peep about it because they're playing great. And the way fans are is that they're a lot quicker to criticize than to praise when things go well. And the offensive line has been great. It was actually brilliant against Cleveland on Sunday.
Is this an offense? Is this a fast offense? Not from speed on the field, but just in tempo? Are they a fast tempoed offense?
Sometimes. I mean, they kind of vary that. I don't necessarily. I don't recall. I mean, I'm like, I should know this off the top of my head. I don't recall them doing a ton of no huddle. They do at times. I've noticed a couple of times, but that's not necessarily the thing. Is what they do, though. It's the play scheme and the designs and everything. You got receivers running wide open all over the place. And if the running game is going to start producing the way it did against Cleveland on Sunday, look out.
Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. What has been working? How does Bradley Chubb fit in there? And how that's working on that side of the ball?
The defense has been up and down, and it's taken a lot more criticism than it should have. Because if we're going to be honest about it, I look at the defense having won the opener against New England. They went 20-7 and scored a defensive touchdown. The week 3 win against Buffalo, even though they gave up a ton of yards, they held Buffalo off the scoreboard for most of the game. And then the Sunday night game against Pittsburgh, the Dolphins had 3 picks and a 16-10 win. So they won games. They also have given up yards. So it's been kind of up and down. Injuries have been an issue. It's interesting because the Dolphins have had, let's say, a half dozen serious injuries, and it seems like practically every one of those has been on defense. They've already lost cornerback Nick Needham for the season, safety Brandon Jones for the season. Now they've lost Emmanuel Ogba for the season. Byron Jones hasn't played all year after having off-season surgery. So to expect the defense to perform at the same level it did the past 2 years, maybe a little unrealistic, but it definitely has had its moments. Bradley Chubb, the idea is that he helps the pass rush a lot better in his second game against Cleveland than he was in his first game against the Bears the previous Sunday.
Alan, how would you describe what has been happening in Miami over the last couple of years? Their ability to sign players long-term, to go after trades, to make big deals. It wasn't just Tyreek Hill. The Bradley Chubb deal is a big deal. For them to go get a new head coach, make it all work. It feels like this Dolphins team, despite the success of Kansas City and Buffalo, they are all in. How would you describe what's been going on there in the last 2 years or so?
Been a process where they completely rebuilt. They almost like started from scratch in 2019, if you want to call it either rebuilding, resetting, or the quote unquote tank for Tua season. And the whole thing at the time, as enunciated by GM Chris Greer and even the owner Stephen Ross at the time, was that they were tired of being an 8-8, 9-7, 7-19 for so many years, where once in a while they make the playoffs, but there was never anything sustainable. So decided we're going to start from scratch and then hopefully build a contender that's going to be good year after year. And it's been a slow progression. And then this offseason, with the hiring of Mike McDaniel after the flirtation with Sean Payton, and then they went all out in free agency out of like a lot of speed with Raheem Mostert. They got the big time tackle with Teron Armstead. Then all of a sudden you have the possibility of, making a trade for Tyreek Hill, which changed everything and pushed everything into overdrive. And the season starts and they're looking at a team that's got real possibilities here. And then you got the opportunity to add a pass rusher, which was one area of the defense that really wasn't working all that great, because it needs to be pointed out that in the past two years where the Dolphins got their pass rush was a lot of it through their blitz, because they have the two quality corners in Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, where they can leave those guys on an island and send a lot of people at the quarterback. Well, without Byron Jones, they don't have that luxury anymore, so they rely a lot more on the front four to generate a pass rush, and that didn't happen, which that justified the idea of going for Bradley Chubb. And going all out, and they're thinking big, and they have no reason, they don't have any reason not to.
Absolutely, without question, one of the more fun teams, I can make the argument they're the best team in the AFC if you would like. Alan Popar, Sports Illustrated, great stuff, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you got it. Anytime, Tony.
You got it, brother. Appreciate it. I mean, he was 100% right. I mean, what do we talk about a lot about this league, right? 8-8 back in the day, remember? 9-7, 8-8, 7-9. It's terrible. It's a terrible record to be. You're not good enough to make the playoffs. You're not good enough to reset everything and get that top five pick that may change your franchise. It's a terrible place to be when you're hovering in that spot. He's right. This no reason why they shouldn't have gone all in. Just go all in. Don't be worried about what Kansas City's been building. Go after their best player if you can. Talk to them about, you know, we're hearing this about Tyreek Hill. We're hearing this about Bradley Chubb. Let's go get a new coach and get a new dynamic offense in here. Let's build this team around some speed. Let's sign some guys to long-term deals. That's what's been going on there. And here's the other thing. They're going on a bye week. And look, I'm not going to just throw out, you know, hey, listen, you know, any, that's why they call it Any Given Sunday. So I'm not going to blow off, but they've got a game against Houston at home. All right. And that's going to be in week 12. So they got the bye week this week. And then on November 27th, the Thanksgiving weekend, they're going to play Houston. Then starting in the beginning of December, this is where it's going to be key for them. They are on the road at San Francisco. On the road the next week in Los Angeles. Don't be surprised if they stay out in California and work out that week to go from San Francisco to SoFi Stadium, and then on the road to Buffalo for a divisional clash with the Bills trying to look for that season sweep. That's three straight road games against three teams that are going to be buzzing around the playoff time. And that's a big, big, big thing. And then they go to New England, a cold weather game in January 1st on New Year's Day. So they've got some good games coming up on this schedule. Good games. Now, they just ran through four teams. None of them have winning records. But still, where you see this in their schedule, it's really fascinating. If you haven't been following, and you probably heard it through about their schedule, start 3-0, have the problem with Tua against Cincinnati. They lose that game. They lose to the Jets in Minnesota. But there you have no Tua, right? No Tua's in that. No Tua. And then he comes back. They win that Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. They won four straight. So 7-3, but 7-0 when Tua Tagovailoa starts is the quarterback of record for that particular game. All right, we'll have top five and bottom five when we come back. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Kane is in the building.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's time for top five, bottom five as we roll along here on your Tuesday. We just completed week 10 of the National Football League. Man, are you ready to go? Because I'm telling you, Ron, I scribbled and scribbled and added and scribbled, and I think I got it. I don't know if I got it.
I'm 100% with you because
this might be a mess.
I can say this with all certainty. My top five, the teams are the same. I just couldn't figure out the order I wanted
to put
them in.
I couldn't figure out the order.
But let's do it.
Let's rock and roll. Are you ready? Number five on my list. My God, I hated to do this. Because in the end, I'm going to look back on week 10 and go, oh, remember when you thought they were five? Yeah, well, now they're like number one. But unfortunately, this is where I put the Buffalo Bills. They've lost back-to-back games now. It's not that they're a bad team. It's not. It really isn't. It's that right now they're not playing pretty good. They're not playing good. Josh Allen's elbow injury. How much was that a factor in their loss to Minnesota? I don't know. But it was the most wild, crazy game that could have gone either way. If the Bills had pulled that game off, they'd be higher. It really does come down to a wild fourth quarter. If they didn't fumble the football and had gotten that win, they'd be higher. But right now, back-to-back losses, if you're one of the top teams in the NFL, I got to punish you for back-to-back losses. So Bills, you're five.
See, I might be a little mean here.
Right?
A little mean because this team was number two all the way down to five. And I feel bad doing this. And I know it's not true, but I had to put the Eagles at five.
Well, I might as well keep going because I put the Eagles at four. So let's continue that conversation.
Yeah, just because here's the deal, right? You could have a bad game in the NFL. We've all seen it. They had the worst game of the season that they possibly could have. They did. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Like one more turnover they had all season. They did in one game.
Yeah.
They had three all season, four in this one game. And you can't do that to a division rival. And I think that's where the issue is I'm having with them. Is that you need to take care of your business when it comes to your division rivals. And you lay down.
Yeah, exactly. And again, they couldn't stop the run last night. They couldn't stop the run against Houston. But that's Houston. So it's not big of a deal. But last night, Washington made them pay for that. And again, I love the strategy of Washington. Let's keep the ball as much as we possibly can. But when the Eagles did have the ball, they were pretty sloppy with it too. So I'm with you. It's a huge punishment for a team that was unbeaten. yeah. Like, all season long. But I feel like they deserve it.
But you know what?
Bit.
That happens in college football all the time, yeah. right? If you're the number one team and you're undefeated, you lose a game, you're out of the top five or top four.
One of the things that this Eagles team has been able to do is they have the right people in the right position. They have both it on offense and defense. We were impressed with the team that they have been building, that Howie Roseman building. Like when they got when they went out and got why am I drawing a blank? On Robert Quinn. God, okay. That's the second time I failed on Robert Quinn. Why am I? Robert Quinn is going to have to, I'm going to have to just read a bio on him or something. But when they got Robert Quinn, why? Because they didn't have a lot of sacks as a defense, but they had like two games where they had a lot. So they weren't spreading it out enough. They felt like they had to go out and get money. But that was just like, that's just like finishing up the icing on the cake, right? Just, oh, let's get Robert Quinn to finish this one thing that we don't do well.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan Davis's injury has allowed them, have put them in a position where teams can gouge them a little bit because he's been a very good run stopper and he's not on the team anymore because he's on the IR. That allowed a team like Washington to do very well against him. So yeah, I'm going to drop you down a little bit, Philadelphia. Yeah, you're four.
Number four for me. This is where I had the Bills.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, we just kind of flip flopped them. You know, I think you're onto something. I think there's much more to the UCL injury than they're leading on. Now he played well. Josh Allen played well, but you know how much of that towards the end of the game was he actually starting to feel it a little bit more?
I thought his interception at the end of the game that sealed it in overtime was a terrible throw. That was a terrible throw. And that's usually not something he does. And so I don't know how much – I'm not making an excuse for the guy by any means. But, I mean, it did make me go, well, there might be more to this. Yep. And we'll see. So I – right now Buffalo's just got to get – got to get something going together. All right, number three – I'm sorry, number four?
No, you already did number four. Number three.
Number four, Philly. I'm sorry, number three. This is where I put the Miami Dolphins. I just got talking with Alan Poupar. I like the Dolphins. I know that this three-game losing skid without Tua, but now with Tua, they played a Browns team that's not good, but the one thing the Browns do is run the ball really well, and they stopped Nick Chubb. They held Nick Chubb to his second lowest point yardage total of the season. You combine that with what they're doing offensively, that is it. And Xavier Howard did a great job of shutting down the receivers. That defense played really well in their game against the Browns. I think there's something clicking down there. I mean, they obviously got through the Tua injury and the concussion protocol and all of that. Yes, they did lose three straight. Yes, they're beating up on teams that have losing records. But I like them. They're clicking. Miami is three.
Number three, let's keep the conversation going because I did the same thing. Number three is for me is Miami. You know what? Tua is undefeated this season.
He is 7-0.
I think he is, 13-2 in his last 15 games? You know, you could point fingers at his arm strength, the way he throws the ball, this and that. Fact is, this guy knows how to play football.
He really does.
And for whatever reason, we didn't give him credit for it. We all owe to an apology.
Right,
because
this guy
this guy knows how to play. And listen, they've made the right moves this offseason. They got, I mean... Alan Poupar said it. They have cheat codes at wide receiver. It is ridiculous that Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. It's just a bevy of riches. I mean, all I can assume next is that they're going to fleece Atlanta Falcons and bring Kyle Pitts over.
By the way, does Alan Poupar think there was no controversy about Tua Tagovailoa around the nation?
Yeah, it sounded like that.
I caught him off guard. I'm like, are there any doubters left? You know, just kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Like,
he's like, were there any to begin with?
Yeah, I don't think there were.
A whole bunch of people that were saying... You know, maybe not in South Florida, but there definitely was a feeling around the country.
305 is the area code down there?
Right, exactly.
It's like, look outside the 305.
There was a lot of people wondering if that guy was the quarterback down there.
You know what? I mean, all the talk, it was like, hey, you know what? Trade Tua to the Texans.
Oh, I know.
For draft picks. It's like, get rid of him.
Oh, goodness. But now he's the man, 7-0.
And it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, he is, yeah.
Yeah, Philip on Twitter, it's definitely a good time to be a Dolphins fan. I love it. You're 100% right.
It's a great time to be a Dolphins fan.
Yep, all right.
They got everything clicking for them right now.
Number two on my list, real quick, this is where I put the Minnesota Vikings.
Same here.
Are we gonna have to continue our top five with
segment?
Yeah. All right, we'll continue that when we come back as we continue with Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio. But we got the Minnesota Vikings at number two, right? So look, you win on the road, you win in Buffalo, you're going to get higher up. I wasn't buying them for a while, but now I'm buying them now. We'll continue as Wake Up Call rolls along.
Oh,
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, because of the shortness of that last break, we're going to wrap up top five, and then we're going to go right into bottom five. We were just talking about number two. Minnesota is, what, two for us?
Two for us, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big win for them on the road. Now, they were in some tight games with some teams that, but nevertheless.
No, but that was a quality win. That's the one thing we've been kind of missing. I mean, you know, we've said, oh, they've had a tough game here or there, but our biggest argument all season long when they were, you know, with only one loss was like, who do they beat?
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, was I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and they would lose, like, four in a row, and then they would be back to normal. But they don't look like that team. I thought, I mean, again, we all can marvel at Justin Jefferson, and rightfully so. He had one of the best games you'll see in the season.
One of the best catches we'll ever see, too.
Kirk Cousins threw some missiles, man. He threw some great passes. And so that's really coming together well.
But here's the deal. Don't you get the feeling you still don't know who this team is?
I'm a little bit like that.
I watched a lot of that game. Yeah, I was, you know, doing little chores here and there during that game, but I watched a lot of that Bills Vikings game on Sunday. And I still came away with not really knowing who the Vikings are.
Yeah, it's a weird team because for so many years this team, and we talked about this with our guy in A.J. Mansoor in Minnesota. For so many years, they were a Dalvin Cook-oriented football team, right? It was like they were going to run Dalvin Cook as much. And now they're not a very good running team. They're not statistically high.
They literally
in that category.
Was a place where they overpaid for Kirk Cousins.
Right, exactly, right? And yeah, they overpaid for Kirk Cousins. And now it is becoming Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, and they have one of the top passing games in the NFL, and they put up a lot of points. They do. They're in the top 10 in points producing. So there is something about what's going on. But yeah, we're going to start to get to know them more and more. That was a big win. That was an important win that you have on your calendar. When you can go to Buffalo and you can win that game, you're doing something right. But number one is Kansas City. And I've been saying, you could make the argument that the Dolphins are the best team in the AFC, and I wouldn't hate you. I would probably agree with more of your points. But right now, I'm taking the Chiefs. I would take the Chiefs straight up right now against the Dolphins, but barely. I think the Dolphins are coming on like a rocket ship. And if the Chiefs are not careful, they better be careful.
And you know, it may stem from the fact that, you know, especially for me, I don't know about for you, but for me at the beginning of the season, I doubted them. I didn't even pick them as my AFC West champion. Because I thought, it's like, oh, well, they lost Tyreek Hill. It's not going to be the same offense. They're going to miss this. They're missing that. It's all these excuses. Then, you know, it's flat out just Mahomes being Mahomes.
Yeah. And since their loss to Buffalo in that big, epic matchup, they've beaten the Niners and the Titans. Those are two very good football teams. Jacksonville's not, but Patrick Mahomes threw four touchdowns to four different receivers. He finds a way to spread out this offense. So Kansas City right now is one.
Number one.
But I'm telling you, Miami, I'm watching them closely. All right, let's get to the bottom five.
Bottom five.
As we continue, we're going to go 28 all the way to 32. 28, I put the Rams here. The Rams, Matt Stafford's in the concussion protocol. Cooper Kupp's now hurt. This is a banged up team. They lose games. That's what they do now. They're off to the worst start of any defending Super Bowl champion, I guess, since the start of the Super Bowl. It is a complete mess. You know, look, last week's game was Sunday's game was really funny because neither Kyler Murray or Matt Stafford played. So he was like, what are you getting? But nevertheless, it's still not a very good football team. So the Rams right now, to me, are in my 28.
I like that. I don't have the Rams in my bottom five, but I should put them on my watch list.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Number 28 for me, despite winning last Thursday, I have the Panthers here.
Yeah, the Panthers, sure.
Now we're going back to Baker.
Now we're back to Baker. I don't know what they're doing.
Because PJ Walker's injured, I guess.
But are they?
But not really.
Well, I guess he could play.
Maybe it's because whoever their head coach is, because I don't know who it is.
Why don't you play Sam Darnold and showcase him?
Right. He still hasn't taken a snap.
He might be able to do something, people. If you're interested, you can have him for a song.
There is just so much about this team that and here's the truth, right? I don't even have the Falcons in my bottom five. And I probably should if I'm putting the Panthers here because the Panthers beat them on Thursday.
Right.
But I don't have the Falcons in my bottom five. There were other teams I felt that were worthy of that. And this team is just, I don't know. I think they're getting lucky. But I think
true.
Luck is about to run out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we're going to see an implosion of epic proportions soon.
All right, 29 for me. This is where I put the Denver Broncos. Now, the Denver Broncos I would put much higher. Their offense is so embarrassing, it's ridiculous. When the Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, and you can't score points, the only reason I'm not is their defense is the number one scoring defense in the NFL. You cannot score on them, but it doesn't matter because they can't score on you. So the Denver is a disaster in terms of offense, but defense, whatever Vic Fangio left in the cupboard, besides Bradley Chubb, who's now with the Dolphins, they're doing really well. So in that case, it's keeping them from going further back. But the Broncos, because of the high expectations, the fact that they have a Pro Bowl level quarterback who's playing abysmal, the Broncos are 29.
Number 29 for me. This is where I had the Saints.
Saints.
Yep, you lose to the Steelers, you're getting the bottom five.
That's right, good point.
Sorry.
You lose to the Steelers, you're getting in the bottom five.
I mean, you know what? The Saints have just been a mess all year long. I mean, who's their quarterback? Is it really going to be Andy Dalton for the rest of the season?
Well, I'll just piggyback off that because I have them at 30.
Okay,
all
perfect.
Right, because again, if you're going to kick the Steelers out of the bottom five because you lose to them, I'm gonna put you down in 30. And you know what? Dennis Allen is contemplating putting Jameis Winston back in there. Because he said this week
why
he's
not?
Contemplating. They since they shut out the Raiders, they have looked awful.
They've looked anemic.
Awful since that devastating game in which they kept the Raiders from crossing midfield.
And literally it's on both sides of the ball.
Right.
I mean it's not just one or the other. Like you can make an argument for the Broncos because you know it's like, hey, their defense is keeping in their games. Saints have nothing.
They have nothing.
They're terrible. I mean Kenny Pickett looked great.
Alvin Kamara is no threat to run the ball on anybody.
Ever again.
They don't throw the ball particularly well. They don't score a lot of points. They've been a real mess. You're right. This is a team. I had a lot of high hopes for the Saints. I thought when Jameis Winston got hurt last year, whenever he played, they won enough games that and I said, if you can get a nice season of Jameis Winston, that didn't work out. He got hurt, had back issues. Andy Dalton hasn't been any better. They've had a couple of moments where they beat the Seahawks and they shut out the Raiders, but that's it. That's all they got. So the Saints, you are 30.
Well, my 30, I'm going to continue a narrative that you already are talking about. My 30 is the Broncos.
Broncos, all right.
Listen, you said the stat yesterday, kind of forgot about it. Saw it again on Twitter late last night, reminded me of it. And I said, you know what, this is 30. If they had just scored 18 points a game, they'd be 8-1.
They'd be one of the best teams in the NFL.
And then it just leads me to believe, like, all right, you know, 18 points, I mean, that's not easy to come by, but it should be easy for someone like Russell Wilson.
Of course. That's the thing. If you're a Broncos fan, how do you wrap your brain around that?
18 points. That's...
Where you're not getting shut out. You're not getting blown out. You're not asking your offense to score 32 points a game.
No, it's three touchdowns.
Yeah, three touchdowns.
You can't
touchdowns.
Get three touchdowns in four quarters?
Give
for a guy like Russell Wilson who, you know, I mean, before this season, I was thinking first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, having gotten robbed so many times with never getting an MVP vote. And now I'm sitting back thinking about it. I was like, well, you know, it makes sense. He never got an MVP vote. Would he even make the Hall of Fame at this point?
I know. I mean, he really could
have. Terrible.
Because Troy Rank, who covers the Broncos out in Denver, has pointed this out to people over and over again on Twitter because I follow him and his responses are crazy. Because Bronco fans are like, they got to cut ties with Wilson. He's like, they can't.
They can't cut ties.
He's there till 2028. They owe the money would kill the franchise. The money would kill the franchise.
I mean,
they're
maybe,
stuck with him.
Maybe, just maybe. Walmart, because it was a Sam Walton. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
But you can't make, no matter how rich you are, you can't make up for dead cap
money.
Oh,
no, I know. I was saying that maybe you can figure out a way to stretch it out like a Bobby Bonilla contract.
Yeah, but it still hurts you in the dead cap, so you can't sign anybody. Yeah, so you have nothing. It's, you have nothing.
He is your man.
You are basically playing. You're basically playing an entire team of rookie contracts. Here, would you like to play for a cup of coffee and maybe some free dinner?
Right.
Play defensive tackle because we owe so much money to this guy from Seattle.
And what is it?
Crazy.
Is it Broncos country? Let's ride.
Let's ride. Yeah.
Let's ride. So Broncos, woo. You're going to be riding. Bottom. I don't know how long you'd be riding bottom five.
But then again, a year from now, you could get a new coach and be like, wow, those Broncos are really rocking and rolling now.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it's Wilson. Maybe it's Hackett. Who knows? 31 for me. This is where I put the Raiders. You know what? I kept the Raiders out of my bottom five for a long time. We talk about this almost every time. I said, I just couldn't do it. They were playing well. They were just on the losing end. Ouch, you know, oops, all right, a little bit here. Okay, no problem, but now it's a problem. They're losing to everybody. Lose to Jeff Saturday, the guy everybody said shouldn't even be there. Shouldn't even be there. They go, and what does Jeff Saturday go? Hey, I don't. Hey, guys, yeah, Matt Ryan, you're back at quarterback. Why not? Let's all have some fun.
Listen, okay, you know, 31 for me was also the Raiders. And, yeah, it's because you lost to the Colts.
Right.
You know, Derek Carr, I know a lot of people rallying behind Derek Carr because he was crying on the podium, and we can sit there and say, man, he has so much love for this team. It's sick. It's just, you can feel it. He's a Raider for life. Listen, you know what? You might have to get rid of him. If he can't make this work, you know, at some point, I mean, is it him or is it Josh McDaniels? You're going to have to define that line, all right? I understand that there's a lot of love affair for Derek Carr. He's been with this franchise for a while, but it might be the quarterback.
It could be the quarterback.
You know, maybe he's just not team leader enough to lead this team. I mean, crying on the podium, sure, everyone can do that. But you need to be a general on the field, and he may not be it.
He may not be it.
And I love the fact that you brought up that he lost to Jeff Saturday. There were coaches who are real NFL coaches who were passed over for that gig. Now, I know they would never do this in the NFL, but would it have shocked you if they kind of threw it a little bit?
Right.
You know?
Right.
If I'm forgetting the coach's name right now. John Fox,
John Fox,
John Fox, and then the old Panther or the old Jaguars coach, who I can't remember.
Gus Bradley.
Yeah, Gus Bradley. You could totally see them like, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't call that play. My fault. Yeah.
By the way, when I was in Denver, I did a killer John Fox impression. I had such a good John Fox impression. People in the Broncos organization told me it was a good John Fox impression. Now, let me just tell you this. How far can you go with a good John Fox impression? Nowhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't take you anywhere. Like, if you can do a good impression of, I don't know, like Jimmy Fallon go far with that.
Right now, you could probably call an Indiana radio station.
I probably could.
Indianapolis radio
station.
I don't
even know if I could do it anymore, but I heard him talk so much because we carried his press conference and stuff that I developed it. And
call in as John Fox.
Killer John Fox. I'm patting myself on the back here. Killer. But again, you can't. It's not currency in the real world. It's
phony. You can turn the Colts organization upside down.
Yeah, I could if I could get it again. Yeah.
Use it for evil, Tony.
All right, 32, Houston.
Yeah.
What does Houston do well? Anything? Is there one thing? Pierce?
Listen,
Is that the only thing they got?
I live here, and I have no idea who's on the team.
Yeah, I know.
I do know one person who's on the team, and that's Brandon Cooks. Because he just got stripped of his captain.
Because he complains and he wants out.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce seems to be the only bright spot they have. I think he's fifth in the league in rushing, which is pretty good. But I mean,
you know, I think it's David Mills, right?
Davis Mills.
It is Davis Mills. Yeah. Somebody said Davis Mills. Then they turn to me and go, no, it's David. I'm like,
no,
all right.
It isn't. You know how I know? Because I'd said David Mills for a while before I was corrected and I never made the mistake again. I said, all right, fine.
Davis Mills' experience is over.
It's over, man.
It's over.
Remember when he first was playing? Everybody's like, hey, they may have something here, this kid from Stanford.
Lightning in a bottle.
Watch out. You'll get to know his
name. Diamond in the rough.
Clearly, we haven't gotten his name because he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not a, you know, I can tell you this. He's not on any car commercials, grocery store commercials, nothing.
Yeah. Remember,
none of the Texans are. You know, I mean, the Astros, everything's Astros.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
You want to know how bad it is? You want to know how bad it is?
Texans stink.
Real quick, this is how bad it is, right? Jeremy Peña, World Series MVP, ALCS MVP, was serving food at a Cane's fast food, you know, the chicken finger place. It sounded like the Beatles were in town.
Oh, I bet it was.
And there was a line overnight waiting for him to serve them food. That's how ridiculous it is. If a Texan was to show up anywhere handing out $100 bills, you wouldn't have one person in line.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's so nuts.
Because no one would know who that guy is.
Well, Houston, you are 32 on our bottom five. We'll continue with his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so there you go. I have it, our top five, bottom five. You know what? You made a good point. We should do a top five and bottom five in the second part of the show.
Every once in a while, just because, you know, to expand, because I think for you and I, our bottom five changes much more often than our top five, because
it's
our top
five more fun.
Yeah, but the top five keeps winning.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even like the Bills lose, but it's still a really good game. It was a close game. It's like, you can't fault them for losing that one.
I'm not quite ready to put the Seahawks in the top five. Yeah, but they're, you know, yeah. But then the bottom five, it's like, yeah, they're a disaster and they should be disbanded. They should be taken down.
Listen,
Everybody should be fired.
I have a note because I always keep our top five, bottom five for each week, right?
Oh, good for you.
I change it each week.
Oh, okay.
Right? But so, I mean, I have ours for this week. So if we need to go back to it, like, you know, hey, where did I have the Saints, you know, come Friday? It's like, oh, they were your 30th team. But I also have a little note here, right? And I'm going to be using it soon, I think. And I have it. It says, number one college team when one team plays absolutely horrendous.
Right. That's a good point.
I feel we're on the cusp. I don't know if it's the Raiders. I don't know if it's the Texans. It could be the Broncos.
It's
coming.
I feel like I'm punching down with the Texans, but it is like with other teams, it's like you have let me down so
bad. They are historically bad.
I mean, Denver especially. Denver. Like, I never thought Denver was a Kansas City good. But God, what they're doing is a mess. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.